a man by the name of Sean Duvall frequently has the opportunity to travel between his home in western Wisconsin and various parts of rural Mexico. Sean is a sort of cultural ambassador, working to facilitate harmonious and mutually respectful working relationships between the dairy farming descendants of Scandinavian immigrants in the upper Midwest and the newly immigrated laborers who help them keep their milk and cheese-producing dairies operational. He serves as an advisor and a consultant to about 40 different dairies, and thus he has seen and heard firsthand how the employer-employee relationship is mutually beneficial and yet sometimes is impeded by stereotypes, by wrong impressions, by misunderstandings. To help build mutual appreciation, Sean sometimes takes the dairy owners to Mexico to visit the towns and the villages and the families that are the birthplace and the home base for their relatively new employees. These journeys reveal commonalities in heritage that are affirming to all concerned. And as a sort of additional side effect, Sean ends up having the honor of being not only tour guide, but also bearer of gifts between family members living in the United States and family members living in Mexico. When he travels to Mexico, he brings dairy products produced in the northern farms so that the family members in Mexico can actually see and taste what it is that their loved ones are spending their time and their effort working to create. He also carries gifts of clothing and stuffed animals meant as a tangible expression of care and love for family members that are separated by so many miles. Upon his return from Mexico, Sean carries equally precious cargo, locally grown beans, coffee, and medicine meant to nourish, warm, and strengthen distant dear ones, and often also photographs of children and spouses carefully wrapped up in hand-woven cloth for protection. These treasures are gifts from the heart, standing in for the physical presence of the beloved, aching to bridge the gap of separation and hoping to serve as a touchstone of identity, purpose, and shared devotion. They represent a common effort to keep everyone's feet on good and true pathways, even as circumstances have brought into being this reality of having to live so far apart. Perhaps an awareness of gifts flowing back and forth between loved ones can help us to hear and appreciate the words from Psalm 119 that we are going to be listening to today. We're going to be focusing on verses 9 through 16. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Heidi Grogan keeps a ceramic angel on her mantle in her living room. The angel was fired according to a process called raku, which apparently involves being pulled from an extremely hot kiln and then immediately being placed into a metal can filled with combustible materials like old newspapers and dried leaves. The glowing heat of the ceramics, in this case an angel, causes the trash to catch on fire. And then the fire has to burn itself out and cool down before the item can be removed. Having gone through this process, the particular angel in question emerged quite brilliant, metallic, glistening blue and iridescent purple. She's the color of sky after sunset, shimmering under a blush of gold left by the sun, is how Heidi puts it. Heidi treasures her ceramic angel not only because of its stunning color achieved through surviving this process of smoke and fire, but also because this angel stands so tall and exultant with hands upraised and chin tilted up. The Raku angel reminds Heidi of women that she works with, women who are survivors of what she refers to as the sex trade, women who are striving to rebuild their lives. These women, she has discovered, endured the dangerous life of prostitution and emerged socially isolated with a damaged sense of their inherent human value. At first, when she first comes to know them and work with them, they seem to be in the habit often of thinking or speaking of themselves as garbage. They feel extremely fragile to themselves. But what I've learned from them, says Heidi, is that in their determination to keep trying, to keep striving for some newness of life, they develop into people who know their own character. They show me that hope is an act of bravery. It's a decision not to give up, even when we are utterly without reason to believe that things could get better, even when we feel we're without resources to improve our own situation. One day when Heidi was watering her plants, she accidentally brushed her ceramic angel off the mantle and was not able to catch it in time. And so it crashed to the floor and broke to pieces. Distressed but needing to get to work, she swept all those pieces into a box and set them on the kitchen table. Hours later, when she returned home, her spouse was sitting at the table, carefully gluing each of the pieces back into place. It put Heidi in mind of an afternoon she'd once spent keeping company with a young woman who was trying valiantly not to succumb to self-destructive impulses. Only 17 years old, this young woman had already survived so much brutality that the flashbacks made her want to cut her own skin. Looking for a better alternative, the staff of the Servants Anonymous Society brought boxes of old dishes out into a quiet and secluded place in the parking lot. And Heidi was the one designated to stay there on a cold and wintry day while this 17-year-old girl hurled one after the other, hurled plates and cups and bowls onto the hard concrete surface, watching and listening to them smash and shatter. When the young woman was finally finished throwing things, the rest of the staff was called to come back outside, and they all worked together to help her clean up by collecting the pieces, all the pieces, no matter how sharp or how dangerous. It was getting into the mess with her, as Heidi sees it, that made the restoration of hope possible. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant so that I may live and observe your word. Open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Those of us who were fortunate to grow up with access to the scriptures have perhaps had opportunity to form a connection with a particular passage that speaks to us in an especially personal or meaningful way. One person at the Tuesday night book discussion group this past week shared that Isaiah 43 verse 1 has been a companion and a recurring source of encouragement ever since his young adult years. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine." A similar scripture spoke powerfully to me in my early 20s. In my case, it was Psalm 139, which begins, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. and goes on to affirm that there's nowhere we can go to escape or be abandoned by God's great love. Over the years, other scriptures have become equally significant. The words of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." The words that Eli spoke or suggested to Samuel to speak during the night, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The words of Mary when she received news that was hard to comprehend, "Let it be with me according to your word." The words of Jesus himself, "Go in peace, your faith has made you well." Even with scripture in my head and in my heart, I am certainly not immune to that impulse exhibited by those who carefully prepare and send gifts, and those who cherish broken and glued together ceramic angels. I also can point to specific objects which are representative of the treasures of my heart. If you were to look around the hidden spaces, the shelves and the cupboards in the house where I live, you might wonder why on earth I keep such large stacks of children's crayon drawings, watercolor paintings, and handwritten books. I cannot seem to part with these artifacts of my two daughters' early years in school. It's not that I look at them all that often, but when I do, memories and stories come flooding back in abundance. A few months ago, Christina and I had quite a laugh over a large piece of paper that we discovered in one of those stacks that was covered with her older sister's childish handwriting. On this page, the same sentence had been repeated over and over and over again. The sentence was this: "Christina got a kitten. Christina got a kitten. Christina got a kitten." Both girls were quite young when Christina begged without ceasing for months on end to become a cat owner, and Santa Claus finally relented and delivered one for Christmas. Who knew that older sibling Elizabeth would be so upset? Fortunately, Elizabeth's birthday is only about 3 weeks after Christmas, and so we were soon able to remedy the situation by obtaining a second kitten in time for Liz's birthday celebration. Many of the paintings and the drawings that I have saved are actually depictions of stories that were told and retold in the school that my daughters attended. Stories meant to stimulate the imagination, to nourish the spirit, and to suggest possibilities for how to live life on this earth. As it happens, I ended up keeping a record of one conversation that I once had with Elizabeth about one of her pictures, and she was 7 years old when we had this little talk. "See my picture, Mom?" she began, putting it into my hands. "Well, it looks like someone warming themselves by the fire," I responded. "No, that's not it," she explained. "This is the rabbit that had given away absolutely everything that it had to poor and hungry people. The rabbit was worried that if someone else in need came by, he wouldn't have anything to give." She went on with the story. Just then, a person did come by, and the person said, "I'm hungry. Can you give me something to eat?" The rabbit told the person to build a really big fire. When the fire was ready, the rabbit backed up in order to get a good start and then ran forward and jumped into the fire. But, she went on, the fire was cold, and it did not burn the rabbit. The rabbit got out of the fire and said to the person, "Who are you?" The person answered, "I am not who I seem. I am the greatest angel in heaven, disguised as a beggar. Now, because of what you were willing to give, I have a silver throne for you." How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. "With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees." God's word is capable of living in our hearts. Last Sunday, during the coffee and fellowship conversation time after worship, I listened as Someone recounted the entire plot line of a story heard years ago at church camp. The person retelling it might not have even realized how deeply it had been lodged in his heart until suddenly it all came flowing back. Catherine of Siena lived in Italy in the 13th century. This was an era of plagues and violence. Catherine was the 24th of 25 children. Feeling a strong connection to God from a very young age and not eager to be given in marriage to a stranger, at the age of 15, she cut off all of her hair in an act of rebellion in order to make herself undesirable and therefore unmarketable as a bride. She carved out a solitary space in the family home and remained isolated within it for 3 solid years. One night, disturbed by some riotous event occurring outside her window and not really understanding the trajectory of her life so far, she cried out to God in frustration. "Where were you?" she demanded to know of the vision of Christ suddenly standing before her. "Where were you?" "I was in your heart the whole time," he answered. When Catherine emerged from her solitary confinement, it was to visit the sick and those in prison. Among her writings, still preserved, are these words: "In your nature, eternal God, I shall come to know my nature. And what is my nature, boundless love? It is fire, because you are nothing but a fire of love. And you've given humankind a share in this nature. For by the fire of love, you created us. And so with all other people and every created thing, you made them out of love." Catherine would have had no argument with the prophet Jeremiah, who understood God to say, "I will put my law within my people. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." She would affirm also the perspective of Rachel Raymond, a physician of our own day who spends a lot of time listening to the stories of people who are sick and who has concluded that every life is unique and precious, every person carries secret wisdom, and our time on earth is holy and worthy of celebration. Wisdom comes most easily to those who have the courage to embrace life without judgment. "To those who are willing to not know, sometimes for a long time," writes Dr. Raymond. "Wisdom may require us to suffer, but ultimately we will be more than we were when we began. There is a seed of greater wholeness in every one of us." "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Gracious God, we continue to pray with the words of Psalm 119. And we dare to ask that you deal bountifully with us, your servants, so that we might live and observe your word. Open our eyes so that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Sometimes we feel as though we are living as strangers in our own land. And so we ask that you do not hide your commandments from us. Our souls are consumed with longing for you, for your love, for your ordinances at all times. We want to walk in your way, O Lord. We look to you to guide us on the path. There is much good work to be done in this world, and so please help us to find our place in the great work of pursuing peace and healthy communities and a thriving natural environment. We dream of using our gifts in a way that serves you well, O God. And as we have the joy this morning of gathering together as your people, people with your law written on our hearts. We rejoice as we consider the arrival of Luke Joseph Shea among us this week. We ask your strength and encouragement for our beloved elders who are not always able to be here, especially this morning remembering Betty Stapleton and her new home. We lift up those who have going or are going to mourn the death of dear ones, such as Craig in Oklahoma now for the funeral of his Aunt Jane. We lift up also those who will be traveling to be in support of family members wounded and recovering or sick and in need of support. We all have many such friends, loved ones, and family members on our minds and hearts, O God, and so we're thankful to know that you indeed are always near, listening to our prayers even before we know how to speak them on our lips. We join our voices now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.